welcome to Fortress of Comic News.
My Fortress name is Chris. Of Comic News.
I'm Mike. Still here. Still Chris. Still lets me talk about stuff.
So, Mike, this movie came out, and I don't know if you heard the theme for it, but it's pretty awesome. I got it here right here.
Hell yeah.
All right.
I wish that was the actual theme.
I had to get that in before you got that new one.
Yeah, I know. You every time, so like, when I saw, we'll talk about the Wonder Woman movie in a minute, but when I mean, later, more in depth, but when I saw the movie, and I, like, the two parts where they finally, spoilers, they give you the theme for Wonder Woman, I was like, wow, that was friggin' epic. But all I could think about was you sitting there watching the movie like, God damn it! Like,
honestly, there was one part where they did it, like, orchestrally. Did you catch that?
Yeah. You know, like, I caught it. They, like, slowed it down. I'm like, wow, what a lazy way to write, like, Junkie XL wrote this song. And, like, what a lazy way to do the music for, like, nobody's even going to care who did the music for this movie for Wonder Woman. Because the song's already there. They're just slowing it down.
I kind of like the custom version better than the real version.
Yeah. Yeah, so, wow. So many good things to say about Wonder Woman. We finally got one.
All right, well, let's jump into TV news. We'll get to the movies in a minute. We got to build up suspense here.
Castle came out of nowhere. What's going on with that? Where did this come from?
Castlevania? So Netflix is doing a Castlevania, basically anime, but not really an anime.
Yeah.
Did you watch the trailer?
No, I haven't seen the trailer yet. Is it live action or is it an anime?
It's an anime.
Okay.
It looks like it's based on Castlevania 3, and it looks really cool. You know, Simon fighting up against Dracula, going through Castlevania. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope it brings up a resurgence to that game, because those are some of my favorite games.
Yeah, I was just talking with someone the other day about how the original Castlevanias were awesome. My friend has, like, an emulator that we were playing a bunch of old games on, and I was really wishing that, like, PlayStation 4 or someone would invest in, like, the originals and put them on, like, either to buy or stream on the consoles, because I want to play, like, the original Castlevania.
Well, yeah, Xbox One does that backwards capability stuff.
Yeah.
And they re-release Symphony of the Night for 360, and now it's part of the backwards capabilities of Xbox One.
Okay, that's pretty
sweet. So now I'm, like, I'm itching to play it now.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to play it on my computer. If they release it on Steam. Steam usually is pretty good about getting those retro games. I don't know.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be a Nintendo Switch thing.
But... Yeah. Yeah, I see that coming.
But yeah, Castlevania looks sweet. Netflix. Can't wait. It's like next month, too. It's really...
We don't talk a lot about anime on here, but as far as animes go, I really... I still watch Dragon Ball Super. I got a few episodes to catch up on that. That was really good. And then One Punch Man, I think we're getting the new season, 2017, season 2 of One Punch Man. And One Punch Man, all the first season is on Netflix right now, so if anybody doesn't mind watching a cartoon, that is definitely, it's like the perfect mix of action and that weird, like, Japanese comedy that you, it's kind of hard to understand sometimes, but other times it's really ridiculously funny. That show is amazing.
Well, yeah, I've been wanting to watch that, but, and this is to any, like, hardcore anime fans out there, it's going to be kind of blasphemy, but I don't really like subtitles.
Yeah.
Like, I can deal with it, but I would rather
an
English dub version.
Yep.
There's not an English dub version of One Punch Man, but I really want to watch it, so I'm considering just...
It's hard. I understand that, because a lot of people wouldn't watch Dragon Ball Super until they... Like, there was already 40 episodes out in Japan. I'm like, oh, this is great. And they're like, well, I'm not going to watch it until it comes to Toonami. I'm like, well, see, for me, I need the content now because I'm like that. But I probably will watch it again with the – I do prefer – I mean, because, like, growing up with Dragon Ball Z, it's a little different because you know all their voices.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard. I didn't know this in Japan, but, like, when I was watching the Dragon Ball Z dubs – the subtitle ones, a lot of the heroes in Japanese animes have really, like, high-pitched voices. So, like, Goku has a very iconic voice when you watch Dragon Ball Z, and then you watch the Japanese version, or the original version, and you're like, wow, that is, oh, man, that's really bad. I mean, you get used to it after a while, but it's hard. It's hard to, like, get into it sometimes if you've already, like, have a preconceived...
It's different taste. I have a friend who's a huge anime fan. He, like, thinks it's blasphemy for anybody to listen to it in English.
But, yeah.
You know, to each their own. I'm personally waiting. Dragon Ball Z is going to be out. Super is going to be out on Blu-ray here in a couple weeks, and I'm going to pick it up there.
Sweet.
So, off on that tangent.
So, Flash ended. I don't know if I talked about the Flash finale. It was good. Obviously, they defeated Savitar, the main villain, because that's what they do in the season finales. They defeat the villains. They pulled a fast one on us. Spoilers for the end of Flash. It's been a few weeks. We haven't seen it yet, and too bad. We thought that Iris got killed, but then like we found out that Earth 3 Wells like swapped with her at the last second. He like face swapped with her, and so he dies. It was really like it was kind of weird because like. You know, Barry thinks Iris is dead, and the face thing turns off, and it's, like, Wells. And, like, Iris is dead, Joe West is, like, they're all, like, really upset, and then they're, like, the next scene, they're all just over it, because it's, like, oh, well, he's dead instead of Iris, so who cares? It's, like, move it on. it was, like, a really quick, you know, resolution. It was, like, oh, yeah, he's dead, well, okay. So we find out that the Speed Force, Jay Garrick comes back, and then we find out the Speed Force is, like, destroying Central City because it needs a speedster trapped inside it, like, to keep the balance of the Force. Mm-hmm. The balance of the Force. So Jay comes out of it because he was trapped in there, and at the end of the episode, they're like, someone's going to go in, and Jay's kind of standing back behind everybody, does not volunteer himself, which I'm so happy he did it. Then obviously Wally's standing there and Barry's like, okay, I gotta go. I did enough to like mess with everyone's lives. It's probably like, but he just saved Iris so they could be together. And now he's like, all right, I'm going to take off now. so he's in the Speed Force. So I don't know, like maybe the next, I don't know if they're going to go with like the Rebirth storyline, but, I think next season we're going to see a lot of Jay Garrick and Wally West for the first few episodes, which I'm okay with. I'm so okay with that. So this Arrow, I've been complaining about Arrow this season, and I stopped watching Arrow this season. I stopped around episode 15, and there's like 23 episodes in the season. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the season finale airs. I see all this stuff. Oh my god, it's the best episode of the entire show. Blah blah blah. I'm like, damn it, you know, should have stuck with it. So what I did, this is like the, I usually don't, this is like the unspoken rule of watching TV shows. I skipped like 3 or 4 episodes. And I just watched like the last few. So I mean, they have the recap, and I'm glad I did because the recap was a lot of drama. It was like, oh, you hurt me. And I'm like, oh my god. So I get to the season finale. The season finale was fantastic. It was one of the best Arrow episodes. He goes back to the island. He has to save... So basically, the villain's Prometheus. He grabs all of Arrow's loved ones, basically, and friends, and puts them on this island and threatens to kill them. And then he grabs Arrow's son. So Arrow's like, well, shit, now I can't do anything without a team anymore. So he grabs Deathstroke, and he grabs Captain Boomerang, and he grabs Talia al Ghul as like his Suicide Squad team. And obviously Boomerang turns on him instantly because that's what Boomerang does. Very true to the character. Him and Deathstroke were fantastic. That guy is like, he is Deathstroke. That actor is fantastic. So basically the episode ends like, he follows Prometheus. Prometheus gets out in a boat with the son of Arrow, and Arrow's out in the boat with him. And he's like, he's going to kill Prometheus, but he has a dead man switch on him. So if he kills Prometheus, the island blows up. Well, every one of his loved ones is stuck in the island. His sister, Diggle, other Felicity. Yeah, everybody. Literally, every main character, except for Arrow's son, who literally we haven't seen since, like, the Flash Crisis thing. I don't even think we saw him then. I'm not sure. But, so, he obviously does some crazy Arrow trick and gets his son, and then Prometheus shoots himself in the head. And they're out on this boat, and then they watch the entire island explode. And that's how the episode ends. So it's literally a cliffhanger, and they were trying to get out way on this plane, and the plane's motor was like sabotaged. So obviously they're going to get away. That's TV tropes have told me they're going to get away. They had Deathstroke with them. So like maybe everybody dies except Deathstroke. And then the season six is just like Deathstroke trying to console or trying to like him and Arrow trying to raise like Arrow's son together. Like, two dads. It just becomes a sitcom with Deathstroke and Arrow raising a kid.
Two and a Half Men.
That's what it becomes. Oh man,
this is really just a prequel to Two and a Half Men. That's all it's been the whole time.
Yeah, it's Deathstroke and Arrow raising a son. And like Arrow goes out and parties all night, and like Deathstroke is like cooking dinner. Is like, yeah, you know what are you doing all night? I'm cooking you dinner and. You gotta stay home, kid, and all this stuff. And I like that idea. We should write to DC about this.
So I find this interesting that like all these shows are just ending, and they're all on Netflix now. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, it was like a week or two, right? So that's like, awesome.
I'm all like it's cool and all because you know I get to watch these shows.
You get to watch them, yeah.
But at the same time, they're all hitting, and I'm just like, God damn it. Like, I'm trying to watch House of Cards right now.
Yeah,
and
I can't.
You're all jumping in here.
you're all occupying my other time.
And then at the same time, my girlfriend's watching them, and she'll when I come over, oh, I'm going to watch my. Oh, shit. Where are you in this? Like, I haven't started yet. She's like, oh, fuck. Well, I'm going to watch it anyways. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't even need cable anymore, honestly. If you just pretend these CW shows are Netflix shows and you just wait for the season to drop, like you're just waiting a year either way. You know, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. And like even S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4 is hitting this month. Like everything is hitting this month. It's going
to
be ridiculous.
Yeah, you used to have to wait like a year, and now like... For you to watch Flash season 3, it used to be you had to wait for season 4 to air, and then be like, okay, now we could drop season 3 because it makes sense. You know, we're not going to lose DVD sales, but I feel like they must not care about the season Blu-ray sales or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, they wanted to hit that sweet spot in between the DVD being released, or I'm sorry, the Blu-ray being released, and the show beginning. So you get it like a week before the show started, and I think that was their attempt to get people to like get on board, but it never worked because they were like, what, like 24 episode seasons or something ridiculous? I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Maybe with this I'll be able to get on board next year.
you might be ready. So House of Cards started. I'm only one episode in. That's as far as I've gotten. I'll try to watch some more tonight.
I'm 11 in. It's so good.
Yeah. It's that's quite a bit of TV watching he did this weekend.
Yeah, that's like all I've been doing is I come home and it's like, all right, now House of Cards.
Yeah, that's the one show my mom will binge too. So she's like texting my sister and I, episode 9, and she's like, I'm like, stop. We haven't gotten past episode 1. It's crazy how Netflix has just changed the course of the world. All ages, you know, for anybody, it's like, this is what I'm doing this weekend. I'm binging a show, and that's the end of it. After the whole Deathstroke thing, everybody was like, there's a campaigning. The actor who plays Deathstroke posted on Twitter, Deathstroke TV show, ? And he was like throwing it at DC and then Netflix. He was just copying a bunch of people on it. But I don't see why not. I mean, out of all these shows coming out, I would not give a shit about any of these shows. Well, maybe Flash still. But I wouldn't care about any of these shows if there was a Deathstroke show, and especially if it was on Netflix. Netflix. they might have to do it. You know, they might have to, like, trademarking issues, so they'll just go to Netflix. They'll make a whole new website for it. But, yeah, I would be so down for it. This guy, and especially, it's funny because I just picked up the trade the volume one of the Rebirth of Deathstroke, and that was a fantastic story.
Yeah.
And there's like, he goes to Gotham, talks to Batman and stuff, and so much, they have so much material to just do a standalone show with him. They don't even need that many, you know, they can do like C-list characters, B-list that they wouldn't even worry about using in movies or TV shows, other TV shows. I don't know, I think it'd be a great idea.
I saw that and I was like, that'd be interesting. But I almost would rather see him join like Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Or if he just does that, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, we already have what we have, Heatwave, and we had Captain Cold. We've had those like anti-heroes on the show. Yeah. And I would like to see like him be put in charge.
Yeah.
And why is he put in charge? Because like his children's life are at stake, because like in the comics, Deathstroke goes out of his way to protect his children, even though he'll never admit that he loves them or cares for them, because that's just how his assassin is. Like, that's just how he was trained. Yeah, so they could easily rope him into becoming the Captain Deathstroke.
Yeah. That's what awesome. I would rather see. But if you do a Deathstroke show, I want to see it like in the Legends of Tomorrow vein, where it's like 10 to 12 episodes. Like, don't drag me out into 22 with Deathstroke. I don't really think
there's enough
to pull that off.
Yep. Yeah.
But that would be interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's TV shows.
Yeah, so let's jump into movie news. So we'll start off on a somber note.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get into it, but something happened with Zack Snyder and his family. So he had to take a leave of absence from the Justice League post-production. Very sad, heart goes out to him, all that. The fan response has been amazing towards him. And this is all, like, my criticism of Zack Snyder aside.
Yeah.
Like, this is terrible, all that.
It sucks that he had to... I think it sucks is, like, he had to come out and say it, because, like... And he even said, because, you know, it's like, if I didn't say anything, the internet would have ran wild with this. They would have been like, oh, you know, Warner Brothers is getting rid of Zack Snyder. Like, he knew it would have... Which makes it even worse. Like, I'm like, oh, man, come on.
Yeah. And there's, honestly, like, there's nothing worse for a parent than what happened to him. But
yeah,
I move on. So, what ends up happening is, I believe we talked about this a few weeks ago, that my dream for Justice League was for Josh Whedon to take over. And it's terrible that it took this awful situation for it to happen, but Joss Whedon is taking over Justice League post-production. That includes all the reshoots.
All the reshoots. Which he's not going to reshoot the whole movie, but he could reshoot a lot of this. Hopefully, I mean, we know that Zack Snyder doesn't have to reshoot any of the Batman scenes. Because that's his favorite character. He might have to reshoot some of the Cyborg stuff.
But if he's there to shepherd and like bring everything together, and if he's in the like, I'm not saying he's going to edit the movie too, but if he's talking to the editors and everything and saying like, this is what we need, this is what happens, like, he could really change the course of Justice League. And I'm not saying that Zack Snyder's version was doomed to fail, but but Josh Whedon could be the guy to kind of write that ship into the proper direction.
He's really, I mean, if anybody had, there's only one person with the experience of running an over the top blockbuster team up superhero movie, and it's literally him. That's it. That's the only person.
And now you also get to say in the heading of Justice League, from the man who brought you the Avengers.
Avengers. Yeah. Thank you. The Justice League. It's like, what? Yeah, I can't. It's crazy that's happening. And you know, I really, we'll talk about it when we talk about Wonder Woman, but I really think Geoff Johns has a lot of influence in what's going on lately. And I heard that starting with Wonder Woman, and I believe it now. We'll get to that though. There was that trailer for that Batman Harley Quinn animated movie.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
Well, I hate Harley Quinn. it was, I don't know, it was more. It was more like the original Harley Quinn, so I think I'd be able to, I don't know, I might watch it. I might watch it for the Kevin Conroy Batman. That might be the only reason I watched that.
I brought this up because it looks like this movie is part of the Batman the Animated Series.
It does, which I was I was kind of excited about that. So we'll talk about it really quick. So there's a trailer out for Batman and Harley Quinn animated movie. It looks like the original animation from and the original suits too from
and it sounds the like the original series. Voice cast.
Oh yeah,
whether it's sound alikes or the exact people, it sounds just like them.
And it revolves around, like, Poison Ivy wants to take over the world and turn everybody into plants, and she's teamed up with the shitty villain, Floronic Man, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I found that hilarious, too.
Yeah, and they started talking about Alec Holland, the Swamp Thing, if nobody knows that, which I thought was interesting. So right away, I'm kind of roped in already. But yeah, I mean, it looks like, I don't know, it started off serious, and then they started playing, like, this joking music and stuff. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah, my one thing is, if there was ever a version of Harley Quinn that I enjoyed, it was the original. So, as long as they don't stray too much from what that character was in that series, I think it'll be fine. But, I don't know, I'm just excited to see more, because it seems like DC is getting it, and, like, they know, like, let's just play off of the nostalgia. Like, let's do Batman 66 cartoons. Let's do Batman the Animated Series new cartoons. Like, why not? These are the people that are buying our shit, so let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
That excites me.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, I'll probably watch it. I don't know, that whole... we all know how the Killing Joke went, and I don't know if Bruce Timm has a hand in what's going on in this movie, but... hopefully...
To be honest, I haven't watched the last two. I keep saying I need to, and I just don't get around to it.
What was the last two? Was that the Justice League Dark movie?
No, I saw Justice League Dark, and then they did the Judas Contract.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I haven't seen the last three. They did Justice League versus Teen Titans. I didn't watch that. Judas Contract, and then the Wonder Woman one.
I haven't heard about the Wonder Woman one. I haven't watched the last three either. I don't know. I mean, I know the Judas Contract. I know Justice League versus Teen Titans. I'm kind of just waiting for the animated series stuff. It's that's what I like. Mm-hmm. Or even like the really campy, like obviously the 60s Batman, but like the Brave and the Bold Batman cartoons. I love the stuff like that.
Because
like everything I watch is so serious all the time, like the movies and TV shows. So it's nice to have like that campiness.
Mm-hmm.
Chris and I saw a indie film this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about Wonder Woman for a second. I did see another movie before Wonder Woman, the week before. I saw the new Alien movie, and I understand there's a lot of fans of Alien. I'm a big fan of Alien. Alien is one of my favorite... Alien, not Aliens, is one of my favorite horror movies, and Aliens is one of my favorite action movies. Because it's badass. So I went and saw the new Alien Covenant movie. It has like a 65 on Metacritic, I think, and a green, which they rate it green, yellow, red. Like, yellow is like, maybe you should think about it before you go. Green is like, yeah, go to that movie. So we're sitting there watching it, and I'm with quite a few friends. They're all fans of the original Alien movies, and we're like, you know, we sat through Prometheus. We can give this another shot. And, you know, Ridley Scott's behind it and stuff. It was bad. It was just... This is my opinion. I know a lot of people... Some people said, oh, that's the answer to Prometheus. Well, they completely wipe Prometheus out of the... Like, they completely rewrite the plot to Prometheus. They said, this is what happens before this. This is what's happening now. And you're like, okay, we're going to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is literally the reason everybody dies in the movie is because... One person goes, oh, someone's missing. I'm going to go find them on my own. And then, like, 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, they're missing. Let me go find them on my own. And you're like, what the f... I get it. It's a trope of movies, especially horror movies, especially movies where people are getting eaten by aliens. But most of these people are scientists or explorers or have some type of education that they've been prepared for space travel. And when someone out of your group goes missing, why would you go and find them on your own? That was just one of the problems of the movie for me. Yeah, there was some good stuff there. But overall, I would have gave it like a 3 or 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it all comes down to, I mean, people are always saying like, oh, you know, you say you don't. A lot of people that say, you know, okay, so now we're getting the DC movies. I wanted to start this conversation about reviews for movies, okay?
Okay.
Because people are like, you know, you always say you don't trust reviews when they're, you know, really bad for DC movies. Well, I can tell you now, there's been a lot of movies that have been reviewed very well that I don't jive with. And I don't know what the critics saw in this movie. I don't know if it was like, you know, the cinematography from Ridley Scott. Yeah, that's great. But at the end of the day, you have a really nice shot movie, but the plot is just it doesn't hold any water. So I don't really trust reviews anymore. But I will say, when Wonder Woman dropped, I was really excited to see like a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, there's no doubting. There's no gray area. There's no 50 or 60, you know, is like the gray area. But so, a 97, come on.
I wanted to start there because there's been consistent talk about Rotten Tomatoes, oh, Marvel pays them off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah. They're paid by secret agents of Marvel.
It's official, everybody. Shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
It's like, let's just get real now for a minute. The DC movies were bad. Okay, they were bad. The Marvel movies were really good. That's why they were rated that way. Now, we get into Wonder Woman. It has a 97. And I think it was Iron Fist that had like a 14. Like, don't tell me anymore that they're being paid off. So now, from this point on, I don't want to hear it. Like, it's that argument's done. You just need to accept that Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad were bad movies. That's all I want to say on that fact.
I forgot what Batman vs. I'm trying to look up what Batman vs. Superman got on Rotten Tomatoes. Because I think those movies are like, they're in the red, but that was like the gray area for me. Like, the 40s, the 50s, that's like, those are the types of movies that are like up tier. I don't know. If you're really invested in something, like, see. But anyways, well, okay.
I consistently told people, like, I get that you enjoyed it, but like, I enjoyed parts of those movies too. But overall, they're just, I don't know, they're bad movies. I mean,
yeah, as movies, like, if you take out the iconic characters,
yeah,
it has a 27. Okay, yeah. That's pretty bad. Yeah, but up until then, the best movie of the DC cinematic, well, I mean, besides The Dark Knight, but like the DC universe itself, the Universal movies was Man of Steel was the best.
And honestly, Man of Steel is one of those ones where it goes the other way, where DC fans always shit on it, and I sit there and go like, it's not that bad. Like, it's a watchable movie. I could go back and watch it again.
That has a 55 in Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. But anyways.
But it's certified rotten. Yeah, anyways. Okay, Wonder Woman. Let's give our review of Wonder Woman. Was fantastic. I loved it. Not just because, like, I can undoubtedly say I loved it. I mean, I really liked Man of Steel. I really liked Batman vs. Superman. Obviously, they have their issues. I didn't find one thing wrong with the Wonder Woman movie. And it's really funny to me because so at the end of the movie, who was it written by? Zack Snyder helped write that movie. I don't know if you noticed that, but he had a hand in writing that movie.
I didn't, but writer's credits are...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, so, joke, so that's why I'm thinking, like, you know, Geoff Johns might have some influence here and there on what's going on, because that story to me was like a Geoff Johns... Obviously, I mean, I'm not trying to discredit Patty Jenkins. She did phenomenal. That was awesome. Like, those shots... It was just the best. Okay, so first off, what are you going to rate it? What do you give it out of 10? We'll start here before I start like making love to this movie.
Actually, I want to hear what you have to say because
okay,
I want to go on my diatribe.
Okay, well, I give it an 8.5 to 9 out of 10. It is my favorite. Oh, Man of Steel comes close. I would give Man of Steel an 8 or 9 out of 10 just because. That's just what I don't know. I was very excited about that movie, and it still holds up today. I can watch it today, and but anyways, we give a lot of movies 8 and 9s out of 10s. I realized it's like every movie we watch lately is the best movie we've seen. That's not the case for Alien. Like I said, 3 or 4 out of 10. So first of all, there was some slight campy and cheesiness to the movie, which is fine. That's mm-hmm. like the overall. So yeah, a lot of people are saying, okay, you know, the this is spoilers. Spoilers. This is very spoiled. But a lot of people are saying, okay, the villain at the end was a little, didn't, you know, he was a little weak and all this stuff. And I don't know. They made, you know, I think the villain was really the subplot here, because we obviously know he's going to come back. There's a World War II, and there's many wars to come. Like, gods just don't die. Obviously, he's going to come back at some point. Mm-hmm. But it was more of like Wonder Woman finds the reason to defend the Earth, like that. And, you know, she knew true love. She found true love with Steve Trevor. This story just it just makes so much sense to me of like why she stuck around, because it's like, the whole movie, like, why the hell is she, if she's like, oh man, these people suck. Like, she gets over to, she comes out of Themyscira and she's like, well, this is supposed to be great. And she's like, well, London looks dirty. Men are pigs. People are killing each other for, and no reason. The generals are sitting behind tables, not fighting for their country. But then she finds the goodness in all of that. Like, even though during time of war, during time of people killing each other, something like the love between her and Steve Trevor can really branch out of this. Like, that gave her hope for humanity. And that was something worth defending later in the movie when we see that she's still stuck around. So the things I liked the writing was great. It reminded me of, it was a completely different tone of movie than Batman vs. Superman, obviously. Not Batman vs. Superman, I'm sorry, Man of Steel. But there was a lot more hope and humanity in it, and it was like I was watching a I heard this at one of the reviews. It was like I was watching a classic Superman movie, like, you know, Christopher Reeve's Superman. This is what it reminded me of.
Which, to butt in real quick, they did steal a couple scenes from Chris Reeve's.
Yes, yeah, they did. The scene in the alley where Steve Trevor gets shot at and she blocks the bullet and it drops in his hand. That was straight out of Superman. But yeah, I don't know. I there are so many things that were good about it. And even the no man's land scene, there's a scene where she's just like, you know, the guys are telling her no man has crossed this land before. And I'm like, oh shit, don't tell Wonder Woman that. I'm like, you can't tell Wonder Woman. She's going to climb that ladder. I'm like, you done it now. But that whole scene where she was just like, man, she's like, you know, she was bad already. Like, she was trained to fight. And that battle scene was just great. I loved every minute of it. Yeah. Okay. You can talk, because I don't know. Maybe you could give a better description of what you saw.
Okay. So I want to start with, anyone who's listening to the show knows my dislike for origin stories at this point.
Okay.
I understand this one was necessary, but the first like 15 to 20 minutes of the movie, I was kind of bored. Because I know Wonder Woman's origin, I'm just like, I get it, okay, made out of clay.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't, though.
I know, I understand that.
I'm
talking for me right now.
okay, for you.
Which I get all that, and that kind of bored me. Once she got to London, which first, that bothered me a little bit. It should have been New York, but anyways. once she got to London, it started to pick up. I started to see some of the, you know, it started to get better. The interactions she was having, the scene where she was like picking out different outfits was strangely fun.
Yeah, that was like her whole. Was another thing I want to say. Her whole Gal Gadot. I mean, it's obviously the writing too and directing, mm-hmm. but she really captured the whole innocence of Wonder Woman coming to a new world, like the whole innocence of being sheltered her whole life. That was like. It was just she captured it, like she did it, you know.
Yeah, and this movie had a lot of parallels to Captain America: The First Avenger for me. Like, you know, her coming to this new world and figuring out what it is, and like, all right,
yeah, exactly.
I see
what's
going on. I need to help.
Yep,
in whatever way necessary. So, and that started to pick up, and then the no man's land scene was probably one of my favorite things in the entire movie.
It was awesome. Like that whole build up, like the way they did it with the climbing the ladder, and then you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, and like she was just fantastic in that. Like the CG, I should say, was fantastic in that scene.
Yeah, that was good too. Yeah.
And how like she just took all the bullet, like all the fire came towards her, so everybody else was allowed to charge and take the land. And then the scene when they were in the town, they, rescued the town from the Germans. That was cool. I enjoyed that. I mostly liked afterwards when they had that cool character moment of them all sitting around and Steve teaching her to dance and singing. And like that was a really cool moment. And then basically that leads to like the end half. And the end half of the movie is where that movie really shines in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to point out that Dr. Poison, okay villain, but I get, and you can quote me on this, I guarantee you she's the one that makes the Venom formula for Bane. On the record.
Yeah.
Because I think that what the German general who was like snorting up that one...
Yeah.
To get stronger. I bet you that was the precursor for Venom.
Well, I mean, I don't know. She would probably be like 90 years old by the time.
I don't know. She could have created it and then it stored away and then they find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want that on record. I think that's going to happen. The general himself, I was okay with. He was a little flat, but I think he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I was really happy when they actually showed Ares.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Not just like that dude walking around. Like he actually had the armor on.
Yeah, the armor, the fire. He was a master of making weapons.
Yeah, the Wonder Woman Ares battle dynamic in comics is one of my favorites.
Yeah, yes, it's like the so moment good. You wait for when you're reading Wonder Woman.
Yeah. All in all, I enjoyed the movie. I think it's a 7 out of 10 for me.
That's fine.
That puts it. Hands down, the best DC movie so far.
Yeah.
My only gripe about it is that I wish this was the first DC movie. I wish this was
their
Iron
Man.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of... Yeah, yeah, exactly. I wish this is where it all started. There's a couple interesting things. Okay, so it's really funny because I almost knew instantly when I saw the actor that was Ares. Because currently I'm watching Fargo Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in Fargo and he plays the villain and he's like the worst person ever. Like he's it's a great villain, but like I can't really see him as anything else right now. And then to see him in that movie, like, oh wow, he's being such a nice guy. I'm like, there's no way they're gonna utilize him this way.
That was the other thing, is that came as a surprise to me.
Yeah, that was
not see that coming.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, the German general is talking about, you don't know the gods. I'm like, damn, he is Ares for sure. Like, you couldn't make it more obvious. But, yeah, that was pretty great that he was working, like, behind the scenes to influence people. That was awesome. It was just great. And then at the end, we finally see her flying the very end of the movie, like.
Yeah.
Where Steve Trevor finally realizes, like, we can't help. We should just back off because she's flying now and we can't really do anything. The whole him sacrificing himself, I was not expecting that. That was a really heavy moment.
That was a real, real tearjerker moment. Like, that ending really, really fucks with you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, she's like, what did he say? What did he say? And then that's when you find out he says, like, I love you. And, oh, yeah, I gotta talk about the really funny, the dick joke. There was like, that was pretty funny. Where Steve Trevor comes out of the bath naked and she points and says, like, or she says, like, are you an average man? She's like, I'm above average.
Yeah.
and then she's like, what's that? And he's like, well, and he's like, oh, you mean my watch? And I'm like, God damn it.
Well, also, okay, so anyone that watched last week's episode knows how excited that Mike got over, what was it, Lesbian Vikings or something?
Yeah, Lesbian Vikings, yeah.
So you caught the moment where she basically admitted that they're all lesbians on
Oh, yeah, it was really tasteful, though, where she's like, yeah, we only... She's like, if you read it, we find... If you read the novel about sexuality, you find out that men are the worst for pleasuring, only for, you know...
Yeah, men are only useful for procreation.
I was like, oh, damn.
And I was like, holy shit, like, they... That was a big moment.
That was a big moment. They're like, they're basically having orgies. That was basically, but it was like so tastefully done. I'm like, damn, Patty Jenkins.
that could have gone south fast.
And you know, I think there's a whole heaviness to the movie. I was sitting there. You know, we're a couple dudes watching this movie, but the whole origin scene. It wasn't just for the origin of Wonder Woman. I mean, that whole scene, like, little girls can look up to that. I really think that, like, you know, just her standing there, like, you know, fighting, like, you know, shadow boxing. Like, she wants to, I was so happy for this little girl. I'm like, yes, like, well, you can be that warrior, too. Like, you can do that. And there's so many good things that can come from this. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
And I'm glad that it was, you know... It was a female lead done right, and it only took a female director to fix the DC universe.
And to be clear, like, I don't think that it didn't belong in the movie. It's just for me, I'm personally, as someone who consumes this media, and that includes comics, like,
yeah,
I don't care about your origin story anymore.
Yeah, you're going in, you're like, I have 2.5 hours to...
Yeah.
You know, to get some comic book goodness, please don't waste my time with the origin I know and have read.
And I'm all for it. Like, it needs to be there for people, and you need to establish Wonder Woman as a serious character.
If anybody was coming to me and asked me, Mike, how should we write this Wonder Woman movie for you? I'd be like, well, don't give me an origin story, please. But I thought it was pretty cool that, she, you know, she finds out that, like, the sword isn't the God Killer, that she's the God Killer, and she's actually Zeus's daughter. And I was like, holy shit, they're doing this.
Yeah.
Which means, and we've already heard that Wonder Woman 2 got green lighted, so it's like, what is that going to be? You know, is... I don't know.
So, my thing there is we get into Wonder Woman 2 here.
Yeah.
I really want two things out of it. One... hint that she's done things in the past. Like, show a picture of her punching Hitler in the face or something. Whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
But don't give me a World War II story. Give me a contemporary story with her. Like, I want to jump right into what she's doing now.
Yeah,
and exactly. I want, like, you know, Cheetah or somebody like that.
Yes, Cheetah. They could do that whole storyline, her befriending Cheetah. Even if they continue after, like, World War One, they continue, like, 20 years later where she befriends Cheetah and she's still kind of, I don't know.
Well, it's so easy. This is what you do. Whatever the movie before Wonder Woman 2 is, you do a post-credit sequence. Which, by the way, if you haven't watched this movie and you've sat through all our spoilers, there's no post-credit sequence.
Yeah, there's no post-credit
Which is funny because, like, as I'm entering the theater, the guy checking our tickets is like, just so you know, no post-credit sequence. I knew that, but thank you.
Thanks for letting me know.
But, you know, you do a post-credit sequence in the movie before Wonder Woman, and all it has to be is her walking into the office of, I forget her name now, but the Cheetah before she's Cheetah, Dr.
Well,
something.
Well, so they're almost set up for
introduces her or something.
When you think about it, they've almost set it up. She works at the Louvre now, right? She's like a curator for the museum. And the character for Cheetah, she's like an archaeologist, isn't she? She's basically Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and you could, like, just make that post-credit sequence her, like, you know, it's Diana 5 years ago. And it's her, like, walking in saying, hello, I'm Diana, blah, 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 and... who are you? And it just goes, you know, cuts to her, and I'm Dr. I can't fucking remember. Is it Minerva? I can't fucking remember.
Yep, that's
Dr. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
I'm Dr. Minerva. I couldn't remember either. And then cuts, and it's like, boom. Woman 2, 2000, whatever.
And then
Chris
is like, okay, let's go. Like, whatever shit, we're leaving. Shit.
So it gave me hope for the DC Extended Universe.
Yeah.
Because a good movie was made.
Yeah. Gal Gadot is just amazing, man.
That's the other thing that we didn't bring up. Gal Gadot was so good in this movie, outside of the fact that like everybody else had to have an Israeli accent just so she didn't stand out.
Just so she didn't stand out. I know.
But she's so, like, obviously she's beautiful, but she's also so charming and has so much personality.
She
jumps out.
Yeah. She is what, I mean, because we haven't had, like, we don't have a Christopher Reeves right now, and that's what Christopher Reeves as Superman was for me. It was, like, he had the charm. Even as Clark Kent, he was charming. Like, yeah, they tried to do that with Henry Cavill, and Ben Affleck is just old and grumpy Batman, so like he's not charming. But
yeah, he's Batman.
He's brown. But yeah, I think that is really important to have. Like she is, it was just great. And we didn't talk about the opening sequence, the new opening sequence for DC Comics. That was pretty awesome. And we got to see Green Lantern. There has been any talks of Green Lantern. Oh, I mean the Green Lantern Corps movie, obviously, but. The new intro showing each of the Justice League members, and then zooming out, and you see almost every DC character. I was like, what is happening? Yeah. What does that mean? Like, no one is safe? Like, we're going to grab you. You guys want fucking Egghead? We're grabbing him. He's coming. He's coming with us. Get him in the movie. I'm pretty sure when they zoomed out, I want to get like a picture of it, but I saw like Hawkgirl and stuff, JSA characters. They had to be.
I mean, that was made to show the Justice League as it's going to be and as it is in current continuity.
Yeah.
And I just, it's a Marvel-esque intro. Like, they wanted that intro.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Limited intro.
Yeah.
That's almost what it was. It's like where it's the outline of everyone standing there.
Yeah.
Playing on that nostalgia, you're right. It's working.
That's what you gotta do, man.
Okay, let's get into the heart and soul and body and everything of this podcast, that's comic books.
The reason we sit here every week.
Yeah. Like I said, so I got a couple trades I've been reading. I read the Deathstroke trade. Oh, really quick about movies. Did you see that picture of Amber Heard? That popped up on the internet.
I have no idea who that person is.
She is playing Mera in the Aquaman movie.
Okay, yep.
So we've seen that. We saw that sequence where it's like Aquaman swimming up to like someone we saw her swimming in the Justice League trailer. Mm-hmm. We sit here like, but she's wearing like armor. I don't know what she's wearing. This was a photo I think James Wan posted where she has the red hair and she's in that green outfit. Like, that bright green outfit, she's in it, and it's, like, copy-paste comic book page, and I'm like, that is awesome.
I actually, before Wonder Woman, they showed the DC, or I'm sorry, they showed the Justice League trailer.
Yeah, yep.
And I was watching it, and I'd only watched it once, was like, okay, that's cool, and I moved on. When I'm watching on the big screen, there's that scene where Batman's sitting there with Commissioner Gordon. And Commissioner Gordon says, "Oh, I see you're, you know, playing well with others again." And Aquaman has the line like, "Oh, you dress like a bat. I dig it."
Yeah.
If you look at him, he's wearing the armor.
Yeah, he is.
It's just all black, like it's grayed out because you know Zack Snyder made it. So
yeah,
but that's the armor that you know is in the comics. So that made me kind of excited for that too.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Well, we don't know if it's going to be good, but I did see that trailer. That trailer plays really well on a big screen.
Yes, it does.
But anyways, yeah, comics. So I read the first trade of Deathstroke by Priest. Christopher Priest writes it, I believe. And it's awesome. I recommend it. It's a good story. It's a solid story. And it's got a little Batman in there if you like Batman. And there's a little... one of the villains is... I want to say it's Chrono, but it's like Time Master or something like that. And then I got Rick and Morty Volume 4. I'm catching up on. I've been reading the Rick and Morty books and trades. That comic. I mean, it's what I'm doing to like get myself until the new season comes out. It's just I got to read the comic. But other than that, I mean, what else has come out lately? I finally read Invincible. Did we talk about Invincible yet?
I did a quick summary a few weeks ago when it came out.
Yeah, it was good. They retreated, you know. Invincible, they're like, oh, you're like, wow, they're losing pretty hard right now, but they're like, oh, well, we're not, we're losing for a reason. Like, you know, there's a reason that this is happening. So, I think that's all I got. You talk about yours, and I'll look at my pull list really quick.
Yeah, and jump in whenever. Recently been doing a lot of research, and one of the things that I've been reading that's part of that is the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
The Mirage version.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good. They sit well as a something like historical, but it's a lot of stuff that I've... stories I know because I've been watching Turtles for so long and then reading the different iterations, but it's still really cool to watch or to read and see where that all came from. Let's see. I got Killer Be Killed number 9 here. You know, shit basically hit the fan in this book. If you're not reading Killer Be Kill, it's a really great crime noir book. One you're probably behind on, but Saga. Did you get Saga?
Yeah, I haven't read Saga. That came out last week.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my only book to come out this week, so... Craig, who sends my books out, I don't think he sent it in the mail because he wasn't going to just send one book.
Yeah, and it's a 25-cent issue.
Yeah, so like to spend like I understand spending the $5 or $6 on postage.
Yeah,
that's how I get my comics in the mail. So it makes sense.
The only thing I'll say is it's really good. It has that Old West vibe. I mean, as Saga always does, got that first page stunner.
Yeah,
and I won't give it away because it's probably my favorite first page they've done.
Oh, man.
They've got, you know, zebra stripe gum zebras in this, and it's Saga. Saga's always great.
Saga's really consistent, and I think for anyone who is wondering if they should get it on board, it's a 25-cent issue, and it's apparently, I don't know, you read it, it's supposed to be a starting point for the new...
it is 100% the best starting point they've had since issue 1. They literally spend like the first chunk of the book kind of telling you the backstory as to how they got where they are, and then boom, you go into the story. It's not done in a way that's like, you know, as me or you sitting there going like, oh man, like I know, I get it. Mm-hmm. But it works. It's definitely a great jumping on point if you're kind of on the fence of, should I get this book that everyone says is amazing? It's like, well, you got
it's 25 cents.
Yeah, you got a quarter. Yeah. And then if you like it, there's all those trades leading up to it. So,
which are like $10 or $15 each. I think the first trade, every Image Comics first trade is like $10.
Yeah. So next I got Thanos number 7. Thanos is kind of, like, after last issue, he's broken down, he's kind of defeated, and he's living on Titan and trying to survive. And the book basically ends with the team that was helping Thane get the Phoenix Force and realize that Thane was a piece of shit and was using him has come to Thanos to be like, I need you to save the universe, which was kind of a stunning thing to say to Thanos. Like, that's like going to Darkseid and be like, hey, Darkseid, can you help me save the universe, man?
Yeah. Can you help, please?
Secret Empire number 3. Still really good. The only thing really to take away from this is that last page. And I will pull it up here in a second. So the last page shows a certain character by the name of Punisher.
Oh, snap. There he is.
Hail Hydra. They get into some of the, like, Hydra Youth or the Hitler Youth themes in this, and it's, I don't know, I really love this book. And then there was a one-shot, Secret Empire Uprising. It was okay. It was just about, basically, Black Widow has decided that she needs to kill Steve Rogers. She can't just save him. Which is an interesting storyline, because it's kind of like, she says in issue 2 of Secret Empire, like, listen, you found another way to quote-unquote save Steve. Like, how many have we gone through and how many people have we lost? It's just time to kill him. And this is her, like, making that plan happen.
I love it.
It's really cool.
Kill Captain America. Doesn't get any more metal than that.
Yeah. And then there's Steve Rogers, Captain America number 17. I don't know if you guys know this, but I like Captain America a little bit.
He's a fan.
I really recommend...
So my question for you is, you read all these Captain America books, which, yeah. like, it was... I always had this problem, like, the Bat family. Like, yeah, I like Batman, I like other characters, but a lot of the tie-ins and stuff, they can't hold my interest enough as the main book to really...
I think the big difference there is Batman is really a cornerstone of DC.
Yeah.
Like, they depend so much on that name, and there's, like, 50 Batman books going on. For the longest time, Captain America had one book going on, and then occasionally there'd be a miniseries going along, you know, the side of that. This is the first time where, like, I've had a consistent two Captain America books for, like, 2 years, and now I have two, yeah. and, like... The main story in all of Marvel is like this is just like
them revolving around him.
It to me, yeah,
yeah. So you waiting for this?
And it's also temporary. Like I know after nine issues, it's going to be back to
it'll be gone. Yeah.
But anyways, so Captain America number 17, I recommend picking this up just because it's kind of a chilling story of like. So, what's her name? So they get this reporter, Sally Floyd. And Sally Floyd, if you ever read Civil War, she's the one that interviewed Captain America during Civil War. And asked she asked a question to him that was like, do you even know what Twitter is? Which I know sounds kind of stupid. But it was kind of her saying, like, you're an old man. Like, you need to leave this behind. And so now she's sitting down with him as he's the Supreme Leader Hydra and having this interview. And she's told that she can ask anything except for... one thing, which was what happened in Las Vegas, and basically, if you're not caught up, what happened in Las Vegas is Steve planned an attack and destroyed all of Las Vegas, this giant crater now.
Oh, yeah, but we can't talk about that.
But they don't want to talk about it. So she goes through this whole thing, and she's, you know, challenging him and calling him a dictator and all this stuff, and he's trying to speak with her. And it's a real kind of chilling just back and forth about... how leaders come to be dictators and fascists and all this. And then he has this whole thing where he talks to Magneto, and it's a kind of a backstory. And he's just telling him, like, listen, I will give the mutants their own country, but we will not sanction it. We will not accept it. It's just, it's there. And if anyone asks me, I'm going to say that you are a bunch of traitors and blah, blah, blah. And that was kind of an interesting story. And it ends with the woman saying, like, well, where was it? It was like, well, you know, why don't you talk about Las Vegas? And he stops, and it goes to black. And he has this back and forth, and it says, she says, you can't do this. You can't just arrest a journalist for asking a question. And Steve goes, I'm sure you're right, Ms. Floyd. I imagine people on Twitter will be furious, and he walks away.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. It was really cool. I was a longtime Cap fan. I was like, yeah, get her.
Yeah. Got her. The long con.
Are you caught up on waiting, are you caught up on Action Comics?
No, I'm not. I don't read Action. I read Superman.
Oh, I didn't know you didn't read Action.
I will. I'll probably buy the trades just because I like having all the... I'm going to have like every Rebirth trade.
Yep.
Ooh, Cyborg Superman's back.
You want the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all about Cyborg Superman's plan and how he's going to take down Superman. And,
we haven't seen him in a while. We haven't seen him since the villain's lenticular covers, I think.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, Superman right now, both Action and regular Superman, some of the best DC has to offer.
Yeah, they're doing really well with Superman. And the other books, too. I'm going to start getting Wonder Woman in the trades. I'm just getting to that point now where they're putting out the trades where I had, like, the issues, so...
Yeah, I'm going to be done with Wonder Woman after Greg Rucka leaves, mostly because I have to cut down my pull list.
I actually might finish collecting the issues after he leaves, and then I'll catch up on it, but...
Redneck number 2 was last week. It's still really good. Shit's gonna happen soon. Let's just put it that.
It's gonna happen.
It ends with, like, vampire violence.
Oh.
I'm not gonna talk about East or West. Oh, yeah. You're not reading Batman Beyond, right?
No. Are you?
I am. It's so
good. You read Batman Beyond?
It's so good, dude.
I do like Batman Beyond, like the cartoon and stuff. I never really read the books, though.
This is the first time that... Well, I mean, New 52, and then this is the first time that Batman Beyond was part of the DC continuity.
Well, yeah, well, you remember, during the whole Future's End bullshit, they like, replaced Terry McGinnis with a...
Yep, and Terry McGinnis is back.
Okay. Well, so then I would probably read it now.
As a part of Rebirth, Terry McGinnis is back. And on top of that, Bruce Wayne is back.
Oh, snap.
And Terry has a suit on that Bruce knows is dangerous, because he has a new suit. I don't know if you can tell by the cover.
Oh, yeah. That's not the normal one.
And Bruce is trying to get him to get rid of it.
Did Tony Stark build the suit for him?
Yes. Because the suit's dangerous. It can take over. It's basically, it was built when Bruce was older to kind of control Bruce's body and try to keep him being Batman even after he's not able to be Batman.
So it's almost like the Kingdom Come suit where it's like attached to his vertebrae because he has like a broken back.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the unfortunate part is that Terry's in the middle of a mission. And that mission is to take out the League of Assassins. And what's really interesting is League of Assassins show up, and the leader of the League of Assassins, and we keep calling him Ra's al Ghul throughout it, is wearing this suit.
Huh.
And it's really interesting, and then they get in this fight, he knocks off the head of the suit, and who's the new leader of the League of Assassins? Damian Wayne.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, dude. I finished that
Damian
issue.
Wayne? Wow. That's actually real. That is awesome.
That really Holy caught crap. Me off guard. I really loved it. I really recommend Batman Beyond.
Yeah, damn it. There's another trade I gotta buy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All the Rebirth books are solid. They're really good.
Everything I've read's been good. Yeah. Rebels came out. It's really good. You like historical fiction, read it. I'm not gonna get too much into it.
If you like historical fiction, nope. See ya.
I know I'm kind of in the minority there, but I like that book a lot, and it fits my personality.
That's fine.
Moon Knight number 14 was another one I want to talk about. This was Moon Knight's final battle with Khonshu. And it God seems like...
Is that a villain, Khonshu?
Khonshu is the Egyptian god of the moon. He's the one that gives Moon Knight his powers.
Oh, so wait, did they... I always remember Moon Knight. I didn't know he had actual powers. So he does have powers?
He does and doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's really weird, but his basic power is the fact that he has multiple personalities and that Khonshu kind of brings those personalities together so that he can be one person and not be insane. Being insane, I don't know. It's really weird. It's hard to follow. But Jeff Lemire's writing this book, and that's the main reason I'm reading it. And it seems like, assuming there's a next issue, we're going to get back to being old school Moon Knight. It seems like he has found a way to just get rid of all the baggage of his mental disability and move forward with the character. Which is good, because Moon Knight's been kind of a joke for a while. Alright, I got two more.
Okay.
So, I got this through Kickstarter. I backed it a while ago, and it's really funny. It's the Mighty Trump.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
It's... When you read it at first, it seems like it's bad writing, but it's really not. They purposely use bad writing to emphasize what they're doing. Like, he has a horse, and the horse is named Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, man.
He tells an enemy that if he doesn't get out of his way, he's going to grab him by the pussy.
Oh, my God.
The enemy of this is the GOPians.
Oh, my God.
It's really, like, it's thick with its... You know, what it's trying to do.
It's almost like a political cartoon.
It's done in a Game of Thronesian kind of way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where he has to, like, go... where it's in that era, and he has to go find this idol to become the leader of the GOPians.
Oh, man.
and he does that by riding Celebrity Apprentice to get the idol. Like, the metaphors are pretty obvious here, but it's really funny, and it gets its point across. I would recommend it, if you can find it.
That sounds awesome. I thought I backed it. Maybe I didn't. I'll have to check.
And then our monthly foray with My Little Pony.
Oh, man. Look at that cover. What's going on with that cover?
This issue is particularly bad.
Oh, yeah. A little worse than the rest, huh? Let's hear it.
I don't know who the fuck this pony is, but this yellow pony with, like, a... You know, like, that new thing that women do where they shave, like, side of their head and then they, like, flop over?
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that, but, like, yeah, that's what this pony's haircut is.
That girl from Game of Thrones, like, started that. Natalie Dormer was, like, the first one to rock it.
Yeah. Well, that's what this pony has for haircut.
Oh, okay. So, like, the like, British punk
haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Miley Cyrus, if you will.
Yeah.
And she has a animal refuge that she's trying to run. But all the animals... Excuse me. All the animals can't get along, and they get messed up in this, like, bundle.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. So she puts her bunny friend, Angel, in charge.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. And she... The only good part about this issue is that Bunny can't talk. So half of the book is just pictures, and I don't have to read shit.
Oh, okay. Way faster. That's good. That's good. I'm glad.
But Bunny can't figure out what to do, so she has to gather her friends to figure it out, and they figure out how to get all these animals.
Because friendship is magic. Are you learning the moral of the story yet, Chris?
Are you
learning to preserve your friendship and not make fun of your friends in,
let's see,
in times of...
I gotta find it somewhere. I'm glad Angel Bunny has friends like all of you that he can count on.
Oh, God.
That's a literal piece of dialogue in this book.
Man, they're digging deep for that, let me tell you.
But next issue, it seems like there's going to be a dragon and some sort of ox thing.
Oh, wow. It's like a dragon pony, though. They still make it look like a pony. I don't understand that. Yeah. That's what I don't get about the... About any of it. I just don't understand.
Probably the most infuriating part about reading this is instead of everybody, they say every pony.
Oh, God.
And I die a little bit inside every time I read that.
Where is every pony? Oh, man.
Oh, God. So that's really it for my books. That was 2 weeks worth of books. I'm sorry if it was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so the books I was behind on a couple weeks ago, so we already kind of talked about those. We have a shitty villain today. He's not a comic book villain. He's a movie villain, originally in the movies. This is pretty bad as far as movies go.
And there's a reason for picking this villain, too.
Yeah, Chris just got a new kitten that's adorable, and it's named Greedo.
Damn straight.
And that gave me the idea, I was like, Greedo, he's really shitty. He didn't even do his job. So the villain of the week we're picking, the shitty villain of the week, is Greedo from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Now, if nobody's ever seen that movie, Greedo was a bounty hunter sent by Jabba the Hutt to collect on Han Solo, owes money to Jabba the Hutt. So he finds him in the cantina. He has a gun to him, and this is the original cut. This is when you always hear, like, Han shot first. He did shoot first. The original cut of the movie, Han Solo shoots first and is the only one to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make Greedo shoot, so he doesn't even get a shot off. Basically, Greedo sits down with him, tells him, "You're coming with me, and I'm going to kill you," or, you know, "You're coming with me." He just shoots Greedo and kills him.
And yeah, and that whole scene was meant to show that Han is the lovable bad guy. Like, he's
a bad person.
He's more interested in himself than anybody else. And then they changed it to be like, well, no, it's Greedo shot first, and he was just defending himself. It's like, no, fuck you.
No, Greedo didn't even shoot at all. And for a bounty hunter to not get a shot off and kill someone, to not have the capabilities to shoot someone, or even not to grab the weapon from someone that you just sat down and you're going to hold hostage.
Yeah.
At gunpoint. you're a shitty villain, man. You're not even, you should not even call yourself a bounty hunter at that point. For like someone with giant eyes, you did not see that coming. That's pretty bad. Yeah, so that's, I mean, there's not a whole lot written about Greedo. I mean, he's made some appearances, like his, not him, oh, I don't know him personally, but his race of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a pretty shitty villain. That's all I had to say today.
Yeah, we just wanted to celebrate me getting a kitten.
Yeah, it was more of just Chris celebrating his new kitten. That's a good kitten name, though, Greedo. I like that.
It was really funny, because this happened over, like, 2 days. We were talking about it, and we saw that the local Humane Society was doing a deal where you could get any senior cat for free, and then junior cats were, like, half off, which I think ended up being, like, $60.
Yeah.
And I told my girlfriend that if we were going to get a kitten, if we were going to get a cat, I wanted a kitten. Because I want to be able to bond with it somewhat.
Yeah.
Which, of course, failed, because now the kitten's a freaking mama's boy. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking of different names, and I'm going through all these different names, and I start going through Star Wars names. And then I literally, this is like Thursday night, I had to be at work the next morning, and I'm sitting up, it's super late, and I'm just like, what the fuck was the name of the slave owner in episode 1 that owned Anakin? And I couldn't think of it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And she's sitting there playing Titanfall, and she asks her friends over the internet. Now everyone's just like, it's her, me, and these like different people online are just like, who the fuck is it? Finally, someone's just like, I'll just grab my phone and look.
Yeah.
And it was Watto, obviously.
Watto, but that's
all
it.
All I could think of in my head was Any.
Oh, man.
And then and she's like, what? What was up with that? And I was like, it was just stuck in my head, and I couldn't get to sleep, because when something's wandering in my head and I can't think of it, yeah. I can't sleep.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not naming the cat Watto. And I was like, no, that wasn't what I was thinking of. It was just, you know how you get into a rhythm, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, what's that thing?
Yeah.
So that's where the name came from. Me sleepless one night.
And he thought it was Greedo?
And I was, yeah, and I, well, and then we met him, and I was just like, I looked at him, and I said, what about Greedo? And she was like, yeah.
Nice.
And then she looked at her son and asked if he could say it, and goes, can you say Greedo? And the kid goes, at first said burrito, which I thought was really funny.
Burrito would have been good, too.
And then eventually we got him to say Greedo, so I was like, okay, let's go with that. Because it was technically my cat.
I always want to name my cat. I'll probably get one. I don't know. I've been thinking about getting one this summer, but I always want to name him Bunk. And Bunk is a character from the show The Wire. I always just thought like Bunk was a good name for an animal. I don't know. It was just funny.
Yeah, and we're animal people. Like I've always wanted a house full of animals. So now this is her second cat. And we now have 5 fish. And then obviously at some point, probably when
you can't pet the fish, so you obviously need a fluffy animal.
But the fish are fun. I don't know. I thought it'd be stupid because that was her idea. I was like, oh, what, fish? Like, that's dumb. And then we got them, and I got really into them. Like, I don't know what it
I just picture you sitting there like, yeah, fish, yeah!
And the constant joke in the family is, like, I picked the worst pets. Because whenever I pick a pet, like, the fish I got's a dick. Like, he just runs up to other fish.
I'm going
to
be a dick. He's a fish.
Dude, you got to watch this fish. Like, he just runs up to the other fish and will just, like, headbutt him. And then, like, that's walk away, and then just do it again.
He's just playing his dominance.
And, of course, he's green, so I named him Hydra.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, you got it. And then we get this cat, and this cat's a dick. He's just like, the other cat's there, and the other cat's hissing at him and everything, and he just, like, walks by him and lets him hiss. And they just walk up to his food dish and start eating out of it. And I'm just like, Greedo, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And I get him out, and then he just, okay, and he walks up to something, and he starts scratching it, like, just doing, like, dickish cat things.
Kittens. It's just, I think it's just kitten stuff. They just ruin everything until they grow up, and then they just sleep all day.
But now I'm stuck with, like, you pick the worst animals.
Of course.
That's the joke now. So, okay. Do you have anything else?
On that note, no, I think that's it. That was good. We had a solid episode, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. For hearing our Cat Talk 101 today.
Oh yeah, that's our new show, Cat Talk 101.
Cat Talk 101. So until next time, I'm Mike. You can find me at Ricker621 on Instagrams.
Yes, and he still doesn't use Twitter, everybody.
oh, yeah, I still have that as well. Yep, I have that.
Yeah, I'm Twitter, Fortress News Chris, Facebook, and... I'm sorry, I am Instagram, Fortress News Chris. I'm Twitter, Fortress News... Fortress Chris. I can't talk today.
Holy crap. And an announcement... An announcement for the listeners. We will not be having... We'll have material for next week. We will not have a show. We're going to be having... Hopefully some interviews with people at Comic-Con out of Connecticut. So stay tuned for some good stuff there.
Yeah, we're going to be at Hartford doing interviews. The show will most likely be a day late. Depends on how much I feel like just busting it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so look forward to that next Monday. Remember, on Tuesdays, we have the top five comics to buy each week. Sundays, not only is the show, but if you go on the website, you can find the whole list of comics coming out this week.
Yep.
Subscribe, like, all that shit. And we didn't mention in the beginning, but thank you for 500 subscribers.
Yeah, YouTube subscribers is awesome.
Came out of nowhere.
You guys rock.
And we love it. So thank you, everybody. Yeah. And we'll see you, well, probably in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you'll get something next week.
You'll get something. See ya.
Thanks for watching this video. Remember to subscribe to our channel. It should be right here. There's a little button. Thanks for clicking that. Also remember to like and comment on our video. We love hearing from you and really appreciate it. Hope to see you next time.